Our gospel reading is from the book of John. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. Your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard they had given this miraculous sign, went to meet him. So the Pharisees said one to another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
This is one of those stories that is recounted in all four Gospels, which means it must have been especially important. Now, John's Gospel was the last to be written. It was probably written perhaps two generations after Jesus was crucified and raised, around 100 CE. So some of the looking back has a historical perspective, does it not? The crowd was massive that day. We know that. The crowd was massive because it was the beginning of the Passover. Jerusalem was a big city as it was, and hundreds of thousands would come each year during the Passover. They would crowd into Jerusalem to celebrate at the temple. For you see, in their faith at that time, God resided in the temple, and the only place to get close to God was to be close to the temple. This story that's recounted in all four Gospels is full of deep symbolism. Palms were used in one of the high feasts of the children of Israel. They were used in the Feast of Tabernacles. And that feast particularly, it commemorated Exodus and the dependence of people on God's will. So palms were deep in their own historical memory as a people. Jesus rode in on a donkey. And have you noticed what an important part of that? And you'd think, why would it matter so much, them saying that he rode on a donkey or a young colt? What does that matter, how he got there? Well, Zechariah the prophet, he prophesied the coming of Zion's king, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. And so the scholars at that time would know full well the symbolism that was here. And in ancient times, a king rode a horse into the city if he was bent on war. But he would ride a donkey into a city to symbolize his arrival in peace. The massive crowd shouted with one voice, "Hosanna, Hosanna." That literally means, "Save us, we beseech thee." That word is very prominent once again in the Feast of Tabernacles. The children of Israel were one more time in bondage, were they not? Long ago in Egypt, now in their own home city, they were in bondage to Rome this time. And they needed saving once again. And they looked to Jesus. They would have crowned him king that day, we read in other places. For you see, I mean, Jesus was from the kingly lineage, was he not? He was from the house of David. Born where the king must be born. And his wonders that he did. And his own talk of kingships and kingdoms. And finally now, even fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy of riding into town on a donkey. A kingly Messiah in the lineage of David. A king who would throw off Roman rule. That's what the crowd clamored for. That's what they expected of Jesus of Nazareth. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us, we beseech thee. Jesus did not live up to their expectations, so they killed him. Plain and simple. What do we mean today when we sing our hosannas? When the young children come down with palm leaves, sometimes they get into sword fights with them, but that's okay. When they come down and they lay their palm branches, what do we mean today when we sing Hosanna? Or do we mean it? Is it just a song from long ago and far away that has no real meaning for us today? Hosanna. What do we mean when we sing it? When we affirm Peter's confession, remember that confession that you and I as disciples of Christ have affirmed that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and my Savior. What are we being saved from and for when we say that? We are so used to the words that we never stop to ask that, do we? What are we being saved from and for? A lot of the time, we must admit that we need saving from ourselves, don't we? We need saving from those little sins that infect our lives. And then the bigger sins that pollute all of humanity. Hosanna, save us. Save us from ourselves. Those of you who have dealt with addiction of one kind or another know that feeling of that little sin that is seemingly so impossible to deal with. And finally, we come and say, God, I can't handle it anymore. I give it to you. That's what is meant by salvation. And some of us need to be saved from the meaninglessness that we all feel from one time or another. The song that best said that is a song that's so old that it embarrasses me. Who remembers Peggy Lee? Ha! I'm sorry if you're younger than 60. I apologize, truly. Remember that song, Is That All There Is? If that's all there is, let's just break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. Sometimes that meaningless can threaten to shut us down. And it doesn't have to be only the huge climactic events that draw us to our knees. It's those little everyday drip, 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 some time of humanity that that make us wonder, what is it all about? If you ever reach that point of meaninglessness, that's what Hosanna means. Save me from my own sense of nothing. How dare you feel meaningless when the King of Heaven has sacrificed for you? Have you ever thought about that? How important you are? The infinite God of the infinite universe can love you as if there were none other to love. Hosanna. The greatest need that we have sometimes, and it's tied to those first needs, isn't it? The need to be saved from ourselves, or the sense of meaninglessness. The greatest need that we have is to be cured of our separation from God. When life seems so burdensome and God seems so far away, that's when we need to let this word bathe over us. Hosanna, save us, we beseech thee. Because we are told that God is as near as our hands and our breath. In these instances, when we feel alone, when we are at some point ashamed of who we are and what we've done, when we feel that life is just not worth it, a warrior king riding on a stallion will do us no good. However, a savior king riding into town on a donkey, there is Hosanna. In one of the narratives, the Pharisees and the chief priests ask him to quieten the crowd. They're getting unruly, Jesus. Quieten them down. And what did he reply? If these were to be quiet, the very stones would cry out. It was that sort of cosmic event that even nature would cry out, Hosanna. In another narrative, towards the end of it, he weeps for the city. He wept for the city because he was in their midst and they were looking for the wrong king. You know, sometimes good news must be bad news before it can be good news. I have no idea what that means, but it sounded so good when I wrote it down. If you think about it real hard with one eye closed, it makes sense. No, it's true, isn't it? Sometimes we can't accept the good news as good news until bad news has seemingly won the day. And then, only then, can we receive the good news. We must walk past Golgotha. We must carefully stroll through Gethsemane. We must pass the tomb before we can get to the good news. I've got really good news for you. Easter is coming. Amen.